I think I forgot to, yep, I sure did. I forgot to shut off my phone, which, see, I'm a professional, and I got the phone shut off before the show officially starts, and this just became the cold open. So, yay! What is with you people on Zoom and your wanna use shitty background? Like, you're terrible, man.
I only did it as a joke to begin with, and then this one I have a even looks like it's drawn from the New 52 age. Batcave behind me is what he's referencing. We're on a Zoom call.
Yeah.
I started doing it as a joke, and then the only reason I started doing it for real yesterday is that Jace does as a video. He said you helped him somehow get it set up as a video or something. He talked to someone. I thought I said Kyle, but whatever. But it okay. Must have not been you. Must have been someone else. Point being,
I know at some point he said he wanted to
no, they all had cool. They either had YouTube, cool crap behind them, or they had a background the first time we did it. And I said this boring, my normal boring, like two posters on the wall from this angle. Background, so yeah. I'm like, I'll make it more interesting, but no, I've only done it as a joke in the past. Like when we were recording our Mandalorian episode, I put up Cora Vanth, Timothy Olyphantastic, yeah, right behind me in the picture. Just even though only they could see it, it was funny.
Yeah, but no, it works best if you've got an actual green screen thing behind you. You can buy those ones that streamers use. It's like a little pop-up type thing, and it's not like my wall monstrosity that I got, but you can buy those. But anyways, fuck it, I don't want to talk about fucking stupid-ass green screening or Zoom filter, whatever the fuck effects.
You brought up.
I want to say good morning, everybody, and welcome to LR Mornings today with Kyle and
Nick.
Oh, sorry, I missed out on yesterday. Didn't have a great Sunday, and had a really, really, really rough Monday, and so yeah, that sucks. But we're all right, because we're here on Tuesday. What's up, Nick?
Not much. Our podcast went up yesterday for our WandaVision spectacular. And you had one on LRM Mornings, and I had one on my old other podcast. So, and I saw the same time we launched ours, the Netflix and Chill people posted it within 3 minutes of me posting the Breaking Geek one. So there are lots of podcasts out yesterday about WandaVision. Yeah. Just pick your favorite, you know, or whatever your favorite personalities are and go with it.
Lots of opinions to choose to listen to. I took, like I said, Friday, watch WandaVision, and I took a pretty chill Friday and Saturday, and after a really like intense week of podcasting and launching new shows with Nick and whatnot, and then we recorded our reviews and then all fucking hell rained loose, but shit still happened in media, surprisingly.
What?
It doesn't, I say surprising because it, you know, it's just like it's either all Marvel or it'll be weeks in between big things, you know. We're so used to like a steady stream of stuff going on, and everybody's releasing stuff that we reported on last year as they were recording it. They've just been sitting on it, and now it's starting to get released. And so it's like, yeah, we can do review, we can do conversations like that, but like actual like news that I give a shit to talk about, it's getting really fucking Then someday, I will say this. Saw the picture tease from Empire magazine. They're going to get a Ghostbusters Afterlife, which is allegedly still coming out sometime this year. I'm waiting on Sony to say we're moving Ghostbusters Afterlife. Because it's like, what, June or July right now, I think. And but
you think they will move it? Because I mean, well, I think it's still wait and see. But Disney's still like, Black Widow, May. We're not budging this time.
Yeah, but they have a streaming service to go with. Sony doesn't. And so it's Ghostbusters is set 11 June as of right now. So that's a month after Black Widow.
Well, Universal just did a VOD.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they haven't even used Peacock for that sort of thing. Like, it's
only
Amazon. Only not an Amazon. Could also
no like, Amazon got
and Amazon has their own VOD/Prime, so they're completely different.
Yeah,
but yeah, you know, Universal and Sony, I think, kind of have to rely on a VOD. Which Trolls still made a shit ton of money for them. Like, the sequel to Trolls was the first one they threw on VOD and just skipped theaters, like, which is what pissed everyone off. Like, not the organization, not the theater owners off. It didn't piss off me, I don't give a shit. But that kind of started this whole "what decision will you make" thing, and it made a lot of money. Like, that you don't need, as long as you're not spending like half of, like, 200 million on it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need it to make 500 billion. I mean, a million or, you know, a billion movies. Like, Ghostbusters was never a franchise that was never designed, especially, to be a big blockbuster. It just happened to be.
Mm-mm.
Like, it wasn't made to be a blockbuster, which I think is the point they missed last time, aside even from the not the right cast or humor, is that you're like, you're expecting it to be a giant blockbuster again. Like,
yeah, it's not. And they try to design it to be instead of having it happen naturally like Ghostbusters did, because, like you said, it wasn't designed to be it started off, ladies and gentlemen, those of you that might love Ghostbusters but might not know the history, which I highly suggest the 2-disc collector's edition Blu-ray with the extra features. Ghostbusters was going to be a Saturday Night Live sketch with Belushi, not
Aykroyd,
Ramis,
obviously.
Aykroyd, and
I don't think
it was going to be Murray. Someone else. I think it was going to be someone else in that particular, like, the original incarnation. But I know it was Belushi and Aykroyd for certain.
I think it actually was Ramis. Wasn't Ramis a writer on SNL?
Maybe, but I'm talking about just who were going to be in the sketch.
Yeah, and then, like, that was the same for when they decided to turn it to a movie. That was the original cast until Belushi died, which pushed the project because they didn't know
who. But when it went from sketch to movie, they immediately added additional characters.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but that's the cool thing, is it started out as this sketch, and unlike other Saturday Night Live movies, such as Night at the Roxbury or what's that one with the Strange World or whatever, where she sticks her arms under her armpits or whatever the fuck, or
Superstar.
That's
what way off.
Yeah,
but I got.
But yeah, unlike those, Ghostbusters never became an SNL sketch. It went through a lot of really awesome shit, which that Blu-ray set and the movies that made us.
Yeah,
both.
I watched the movies that made
great.
Us when that came out.
Yeah,
I wish they did more than two for the Christmas version. I went through that in a day.
Yep. But both of those are great to learn a little bit about the history of a movie that really is almost a happy accident. And
very much. Like, and they did not expect to hit, and it was not that expensive, even actor-wise. It was just like, let's make this cheap comedy.
A labor of of love, though. Very labor-intensive at times. But anyways, this picture they show is Finn Wolfhard's character driving the Ecto mobile, Ecto One. One of the kids from the school, the Asian kid from school, and the younger sister. I've already forgotten these characters' names because I don't give two fucks about it right now. I'm sorry, I don't. But it just reminded me that Ghostbusters Afterlife is supposed to come out this year, Nick, and I still cannot believe not only did Sony look over and go, it, and then, Stranger Things, but let's just straight up hire that kid who also dressed up as a Ghostbuster while in Stranger Things.
And I have a pop of that, so I already have the first Ghostbusters pop of Finn Wolfhard because I have that exact pop. My sister gave it to me for my birthday or Christmas or some shit.
You mentioned it earlier. You said missing the humor. And I'll say this before I'll let you finally get some words in. I'm diehard Ghostbusters fan for the OG cartoon and the first two movies. I'm young enough to have really enjoyed the second film, old enough to have thoroughly enjoyed the first film. And I know what the mistakes with the second film were. They looked at me. The first film was made for my dad, but the second film was made for me, right? Like, I got it. That's what the studio did. And
well, I mean, it still made money. Like, it was the financial aspect of, like, we're still, even the second one, it's like, we have to pay all the actors more, but maybe we'll rather than, like, in an action movie, like, doubling the special effects in it, they were like, we'll do similar special effects that look a little bit better and, like, do, like, more Slimer, you know?
Yeah.
More, and, like, do a whole river. Like, we're only paying a little bit more, whereas, like, Ghostbusters 2016 is like the budget of like any other action movie. Like it costs more than some of the Marvel movies, I'm sure. Yeah. Like more than like an Ant-Man, not an Avengers. Like it's expensive, and they're all cheap again. At least they should be, just because they're about the same level of fame as those guys were before Ghostbusters. Yeah, they've been on Saturday Night Live and stuff, but they haven't had an accidental hit. Well, they have, but nothing like as wide as Ghostbusters. And then when you spend that much on the money, expecting it to be an action hit and not just a comedy, it should be a high budgeted comedy, like $60 million, and then you'll make that money back. Even if you might not make a lot of money, you'll make that money back, and you don't need all the crazy effects. And then $60 million still gets you a lot of effects. You just don't need as many fucking ones.
What I wanted to get at is the humor aspect. They're looking. They missed what made Ghostbusters great. Like I said, it was made for my dad. First off, a late boomer, you know, like end of the baby boomer generation.
Didn't they make it kid friendly?
Had kids early. What's that?
I want to talk about the documentary, how like it's also incredibly kid friendly, even though it's an SNL movie. Like the most risque joke in the entire thing is him getting
blowjob.
Yeah, exactly. That's like the only thing that's like rated R, that, even the language is like PG clean, not even PG-13.
PG-13. Yes, it's true, Your Honor. This man has no dick.
That's true. That's a little harsh for like. But overall, it's a lot. It's about the same as a Marvel movie.
It's not that. But it was a great mix of highbrow, clever, humor with just the right touch of. Yes, this man has no dick. Just enough toilet humor. While 2016 was like all toilet humor.
Yeah, that was
no
just trying to
attempt
be
at creativity.
A Bridesmaids. That's all it was. Yeah. Like, yeah. I was even going to say about that. The one of the reasons it costs so fucking much is if you watch the... I've watched the deleted scenes. They have an entirely different ending with Chris Hemsworth just like there's a like a 20-minute, about 15-minute longer action scene where they're just beating up ghosts. And it's all in, like, you know, it's all CGI except for them. And, like, and they have big crowds of people and stuff. And that was all cut. So, like, their most expensive scene was, like, cut in half. But, yeah. I don't know. The new one appears to be aimed at 12-year-olds, but hope, and they're hoping the older the dads now, like you, who grew up with it, would will appreciate it. I think that's what they're going for. They're going for family-friendly, but I don't think they're going for outright comedy, which I guess is... So it's very much a different type of Ghostbusters. Because, I mean, even the director, I don't think the director's done a blockbuster. He's only... Or even something this high profile. He does stuff like Juno and Thank You for Smoking. Yeah. And Charlize Theron movies.
I don't know if it's necessarily made for 12-year-olds. You know who I actually think it's made for?
Younger?
I think it's made for the youngest of the millennials and the oldest of Gen Z. I think it's made for the kids that are basically under that small group of kids that had mostly Gen X parents. Like, Gen X is such a weird, tiny generation, relatively speaking, and the amount of kids and stuff born to them early to become millennials versus the ones that become versus Gen X that had kids later. There's this weird crowd that is currently, I would say, maybe 30, 31 down to about 26, 25 maybe. And they're the ones that were eating up all the nostalgia because they had parents young enough to grow up on this stuff, you know what I'm saying, and enjoy it as kids. So, of course, it was like when they had kids, they shared it with them. And now those kids themselves are young adults, mid-20s to mid-30s, basically. And I think that's what they're hoping because of how great Stranger Things does. And then along with that core group gets dragged along all of the, like you said, us, the original fans, or my dad, you know, a little bit old, you know, to go for who was aimed at the first one. But I think it's going to miss the mark. I don't think the OG fans are going to get, maybe with Paul Rudd, but not enough.
I think enough OG fans will go, including yourself, even though they're going to be very, very skeptical because of things like Paul Rudd. And just, you're like, God, it has to be better. You know, like, maybe, like, I will go to certain franchises that haven't been good in forever because I'm like, please, it was once so good. Like, Predator. Yeah. It's like I've been to so many bad Predator movies, even though I know they're going to be awful because it was like, please, you were an excellent film. You were an excellent film and a half once. What happened to you? Same with Alien all the time. It's like, please. So you'll go. Now here's the point. You'll go, and let's say you take your son. Maybe your son has to be a little older for this kind of movie. I don't know. Suddenly, a kid about that age, I think boy or girl, since they have a girl in the group, is wanting to dress up like one of them for Halloween and wanting the action figure off the shelf of that new Ghostbuster. Not the one you would want. It's like to be a collector's item, but like a Finn Wolfhard making little like girls hard in a Ghostbusters action figure.
Those four Ghostbusters, Dana Barrett and Vince Clortho in dog form and Gozer the Gozerian I have on that back shelf back there.
Yeah.
Those collector's things. I don't keep shit in boxes, ladies and gentlemen. I open everything.
Same.
But,
Set my pops.
I'm not saying that it's not gonna work. And you're right. I am gonna see this one. It took me a long time to see the 2016 one because the trailer was that much of a turnoff. And even then, I still checked out the additional trailers. And my whole thing was looking at it, and I said, that doesn't look funny, and it doesn't look like a good time to me at all. Like, none of it looked like a good time. It didn't look like Ghostbusters, but it didn't look like a good time either. This here doesn't look like Ghostbusters, but it looks like it could still potentially be a good time.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Exactly. Yeah. Totally. Like, so far. Yeah. So far, I haven't disliked the trailers at all. It's just been like, prove to me why you're Ghostbusters and not just a different franchise. I mean, I get it.
Yes.
That they're going to be the kid of Ramis, and I love that a grandkid, and I love that Paul Rudd is like just a fanboy of the real life events, almost like it's Avengers or something. Oh yeah, like Avengers was like, oh man, Captain America, and this is like, oh man, your grandpa's a Ghostbuster. Like, I think that part would be very enjoyable. It'll just, I could see him doing most the humor for the movie, depending how much screen time we get the old guys in, and then the kids being decent enough in like a Goonies, Stranger Things type way, where it's like, okay, that was a good family movie. It's never going to be my Ghostbusters again, but...
Yeah. At least, hopefully, it will completely wash away the taste of 2016.
Well, they have made a big deal. We'll see if they do in the trailer, too, that this is Ghostbusters 3. They'll have to show them in, like, the second trailer, the original cast. Because the whole point is Ghostbusters 3, and then we were told to call it that until it was called Afterlife. To make clear that the other one was different, was not part of, like, was being erased like some of the Terminator movies.
And it's kind of funny. It's almost like a double entendre for me. I'm wondering if Jason chose the Afterlife title, like, you guys killed it and I'm bringing it back to life type thing. But he was like, no, think about it. These are the Ghostbusters coming back to life as Ghostbusters. So, yeah, we're go with that.
I think it's intentional that it's both. I think so it's too, like the first line in Star Wars could be anything, the new...
this will begin to
To make things right. It makes sense in the plot, but it's also saying something to you.
Yeah.
Where JJ's like, I think I got you, and then I don't got you.
No hope. No.
But from that line, you're like, I sure goddamn hope so, JJ Abrams.
Oh, man. Like I said, I want to see the second trailer. I would say if we don't hear about a move, we should see a second trailer by April, I would say.
I honestly think we're getting less trailers because even though everyone watches them online, they still want to debut them the same week in movie theaters, and there aren't any big movies coming out. Like, yeah. I think we would have already seen a King Kong trailer if movies were coming out. We don't have a King Kong trailer, Godzilla, and it comes out in like 2 months.
So. That's why I'm saying, like, I think this one, but again, it all depends on what Sony wants to do because of their release thing. Do they make a deal with Amazon, Netflix, or HBO, look, Sony, I'm telling you guys right now, you guys need to make a deal with Disney for distribution of at least your Spider-Man Marvel stuff. You guys gotta do something, Sony. Shit. Fuck, man. You guys are so, and oh my god, what happens, god forbid, hopefully we're out of this mess by next December, but what if we're not, and it's like, time for Spider-Man 3? Nope, we're pushing it. No, motherfuckers, you can't.
Well, if that were the case, I don't know. I think we'd see Marvel movies get pushed again. I don't know. I could still see it grinding the train that just started with WandaVision to a halt, especially like since Loki doesn't seem to be super important to other stuff. I mean, we'll see. You never know when it's fucking Loki. But he's,
yeah,
because he, yeah, he's, as far as we know, he's barely, he's only in our timeline for like the opening scene. Like, it's just, it's kind of like Eternals. We're like, I'm sure it connects somehow. You could probably release it almost anywhere because it's as far away from Earth and our time period that we've ever gotten.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Fuck, I don't want to do this. I quit. Quit. No, I'm joking. Charlie Cox allegedly has finished filming Spider-Man 3. Comicbook.com reported over the weekend.
I saw that. Skeptical. I'm skeptical of every rumor.
I am as well, but they, this is a more definitive type thing to say. You know what I mean? You know, this isn't the same as someone's in talks to who, or someone's been cast as, or is signed on to direct or write whatever. This is saying, this is a follow-up on something that they had already said earlier.
Yeah, but this isn't like, think, Variety or someone reporting it. Isn't this probably like, right, a source says that he's done shooting? That's how all these articles, right, go. I don't know. There's so much shit that never happens that you even get from the trades when it's like in talks. And then, I don't know. I'm skeptical, right, of everything.
Like I am too. But to me, for them to come back and follow up on it and say, hey, Murphy's Multiverse is also involved in this as well. To come back and be like, hey, he's done, just seems a little bit, it just leans into it a little bit more, and it makes me a little bit happier about the idea of another rumor, which was that Marvel was looking to do additional rated R films, is getting Charlie Cox's Daredevil in a Punisher rated R film.
Give me fucking Punisher.
And Punisher. For the love of God, yes.
Did we, was that, all, which pod? Oh, that, I think that was my other podcast. One of the other podcasts. I don't think it was us. Did we discuss,
no.
Who, okay, that was my other, on Breaking Geek, we were like, which character would you bring back if you could only bring back one? And I was like, well, Punisher is actually my favorite series, even though I love the Daredevil's 3 seasons as well. Mm. And they're like, okay. But then I was thinking, I'm like, let's say they only do R-rated Deadpool. How else do you get? And I'm like, oh, I know. You do a Punisher versus Deadpool movie, if that would be your, yeah, only option to use him in an R-rated movie. He'd like have to kill Cable at the beginning or something, who kind of is like the Punisher. Then Deadpool would want revenge using the time travel suits from the Avengers and everything.
It could be really over the top, yeah.
Well, that's Deadpool should remain that. It's just, and then you keep the same Punisher actor and you keep him that deadly serious, even though he's like, because that's the way the Deadpool comics work with the Punisher, yeah, or vice versa. Deadpool's being like a jackass and like, oh, like fucking off and breaking comic book rules, and like the other character's just deadly serious, not like cracking a smile, sometimes getting angrier because Deadpool's just annoying as fuck.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
It'll be you probably won't though.
No.
It maybe a scene. I don't know. One, can I only have one? No. I love John Bernthal as Punisher, but
now you can pick as many as you want. That was just the reason we brought it up, and I was like, "Punisher, oh, okay, versus Daredevil would be a sweet, yeah, ass,
no,
movie."
No, yeah, I, or like, I
Punisher
want,
kills
I want
Daredevil,
back,
or one of those comic-y titles.
I want them all back, and I want to see I think her name was Connie in Iron Fist.
Yeah,
I want to see her as Iron Fist, like in a PG. Disney PG-13 Disney Plus series continue on. I want to see Heroes for Hire. How the hell was Danny able to still channel his chi and then channel it into guns? I want to see
Heroes for Hire. The last season of most of these shows.
Oh, bring Luke Cage back. Luke
now,
Cage
do Heroes for Hire if you
amazing.
Got do those guys. Make it a Disney Plus show.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. Those don't have to be rated.
No,
R.
No. You know, I never thought Daredevil had to be rated R, and then I saw Daredevil the TV show, and I watched season finale of. Season 3 is so good. I mean, everything's important, but
oh yeah, and you can pick up right from there basically.
Oh, I like all the seasons. Oh yeah, you can do that. I mean, or just like. You know, I don't really reference it, but yeah, Matt Murdock is a lawyer, lives in New York. He's also Daredevil. Wilson Fisk is a crime boss. We never even have to talk.
No, we've already done the Fisks. No,
he wouldn't be important. I don't think Daredevil or Fisk would be that important.
We don't need to do Daredevil again or Fisk again. Let's let this.
No, he's
Murdock.
Just like a guy who's there. He's not the main bad guy. He's like a constant in the comics. Like Norman is. Norman's not always doing shit, but he's always there.
Yeah, I mean, sure, you could say Fisk ends up in the Prime universe as well, or whatever they end up doing, but. All I'm saying is that I don't want to reset that
story. No.
I
want to
see Bullseye. Like, that's that's what I meant by picking up where they left off. Fisk in jail and Bullseye getting you know, worked on, surgery.
Honestly,
and enhanced.
That's the one case where I think the Netflix route would have been the most interesting way to see that story continue.
Yes.
So I don't think we'll get... Maybe they'll. I don't think we'll get him rated R, and I almost think they're gonna be really. It almost seems backwards to, unless you're gonna make the series look completely different and not Netflix look. You have to you have to change the look of all these shows to be Disney Plus, like TV screen, like I mean movie
no, I'm
screen,
talking about
like Sheen.
Daredevil getting a movie.
I don't think he won't get theatrical. If he gets a movie, I almost guarantee it will not continue off from a show from years ago that wasn't as closely connected.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think they're big enough. Like the Disney goes for $1 billion, like minimum.
Yeah,
there's no one's gonna make that much with a Daredevil movie that's a sequel to a.
They're not gonna make it if they reset it and.
No, I'm not saying they'd reset it.
Be against Fisk again.
I don't think it. I just think I don't think you reset it. You just don't talk about earlier events. I think is how they do
so
it.
So then who?
Like, there's no origin story. They don't do the origin at all.
I'm
just saying in general. Story. And then like Fisk is currently in jail. Maybe he's important. Maybe he's not. But he's not going to be a main character.
Bad guy.
He's like the Vulture. No, he's like the Scorpion or something in Homecoming. He's there. He ain't important. And then I would. Yeah, I would like, and then just don't mention the other Bullseye story. Just have the other guy show up. Like, I mean, the same guy show up, but he's no longer.
Why are you against?
I would love to see that. I just say it's not
admitting
happening.
That the Netflix stuff still happened.
No, I'm not against it. I just don't think Marvel. I'm guessing they don't want it to happen, and I'm not. I would agree with you. I'd rather see it straight continue, but I don't think there's any reason for Marvel to do that.
You don't think Feige would be completely okay with bringing at least Daredevil as is completely over? You don't think Feige wants that? That whole background, Karen, Foggy, and use that Bullseye setup that they had with the millions of fans? You don't think Feige wants that?
I think that would be a TV series or a TV movie. I don't think you'll ever see that in theaters. I do think Feige wants that, but I also, I don't know. He doesn't seem very warm to the Netflix stuff because he wasn't as involved.
Yeah,
he strikes me as
a
guy,
smart business guy
who doesn't like when people fuck with his brand. Like, I'm sure he hates Sony with a passion because he has to work around them. But like, he seems like a Ridley Scott. Or then Ridley Scott comes back to Aliens and he's like, fuck Cameron shit, I'm back and I created this. It almost feels like if he had to use Netflix characters, he'd be like, fuck, I want to redesign Netflix characters from Feige's vision. Not redesign literally, but like, let's build our own storylines around them, not Netflix's.
No, I don't know as much because there was a lot more collaboration at first. With Marvel Studios and Netflix.
Well, the difference was Marvel TV. Marvel TV is separate than Marvel Studios.
I know that.
And so the AMC
Jeff Loeb was the head over, over there.
And that's, so it's not but Netflix's fault. It's his
that's
fault.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It was there was more influence from Marvel Studios. I know Marvel TV made it. I'm saying there was more influence from Marvel Studios this time versus what came out on ABC and the Inhumans, where there was almost no Marvel Studios involvement at all. The Netflix stuff, yes, Marvel TV, Jeff Loeb, but it also had Marvel Studios involvement.
I mean, same with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think like, that has even more references than...
They have references. I'm not talking references. I'm talking actual involvement of the behind the camera people. Marvel Studios.
Well, I mean, Legends... Oh, wait, no, okay. Whatever. I was going to say, like, Joss Whedon's the pilot director and the writer of, like, the beginning of that entire series, and he's the Avengers director.
Yeah, and
Eight years later. Was going to be my point. They are so separate. So he was fucking pissed when he realized, he, like, just created a show called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then, like, months later was handed the script for Winter Soldier, and was like, what the fuck? I just created a show called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and you're getting rid of S.H.I.E.L.D. just as my season finishes?
Yeah, pretty.
He's like, we went through the pilot process. Coulson's back. Like, you're gonna get. It became a more interesting show, I'm sure, because of it, based of what I've seen. But
yeah, well, they screwed up all the Inhuman shit and all that. But
yeah, they did. But now Sword is here to save the day.
Sword is what it is. I wouldn't count S.H.I.E.L.D. out completely yet, though. Yeah, and I guess that's about it. I don't have anything else to bitch about Sony today. I'm happy for the potential for Charlie Cox, and hopefully we get a good rated R film for him.
Yep, it'll be awesome.
Yeah. Anyways, everyone, thank you so much for listening today. Make sure you guys are checking out our website, lrmonline.com, every day for all your entertainment news needs and opinions. See our YouTube channel, the LRM Online YouTube channel. Lots of content, lots of interviews, lots of podcasts, videos, stuff going up. Subscribe. Hit the notification bell, and then of course subscribe to the LRM Online Podcast Network anywhere where you get your podcast from Spotify to Google and SoundCloud, all of that. We're free, so there's that. And hit the subscribe, follow notification buttons in your apps, and so you can know whenever great shows dealing with anime, Cobra Kai, and movies and WandaVision and Star Wars and all these other great podcast things are going up. Nick, tell people where they can tell you how horrible of a person you are.
Well, people, you can head over to @geekynickdahl on Twitter or listen to my podcast /typeedytype angry things underneath. For Brain Geek Radio, the podcast, which I do with three other gentlemen. It comes out every Thursday. And then Kyle and I are now doing Marvel Multiverse Mondays,
yay!
Which comes out every Monday. And it's us, you know, reviewing every single Marvel project that comes out this year and more, because there's so much.
So much. Oh, dear God. You guys know where to find me at. I'm at that Kyle Malone on Twitter, at that one, the number one, at that one Kyle Malone on Instagram. I want to plug that Animeversal Reviews podcast this week. We'll be reviewing Weathering With You because the dubs for Dr. Stone are still not out, Funimation. What the fuck is your problem? Seriously, though. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.